Chapter 45. The Van Dorn Express paused in Denver's Union Depot just long enough for a Van Dorn agent in bowler hat and checkerboard suit to swagger aboard bearing fresh reports from London and Berlin.
Howdy, Isaac. Long time no see.
Sit there, Roscoe. Go through these Shauna and Simon Company records with a fine-tooth comb. Have your queries ready to wire at the next stop. A lawyer who connected in Salt Lake City brought more on Shauna and Simon. The foundation of the German bank's power was an investment network that backed modernization projects throughout the Ottoman Empire. But as far back as the 90s, they had begun doing business in North and South America. The Van Dorn Express was racing across the Great Salt Desert when Roscoe, who had boarded in Denver, hit pay dirt in the heaps of cablegrams about Shauna and Simon.
Isaac, who's Erastus Charney?
Railroad attorney. Got rich on Southern Pacific stock. Seemed to know more than he should about when to buy and when to sell.
Well, he sure as heck sold something to Shauna and Simon. Look at these deposits with Charney's stockbroker.
Bell wired Sacramento from Wendover while the train quickly watered and coaled for the climb into Nevada, instructing them to follow up on Roscoe's discovery. But he feared it was too little too late. If Shauna and Simon did bankroll the wrecker, then the evidence was clear that Charney had been bribed to pass information about Hennessy's plans to the saboteur. Unfortunately, the fact that the crooked railroad attorney was still alive suggested that his link to the murderous wrecker was circuitous, and Charney would know nothing about him. But at least they would take another of the wrecker's accomplices out of action. 2 hours later, the train was pulling out of Elko, Nevada, when a plump accountant sprinted for the last car. 30 pounds overweight and a decade past his sprinting years, Jason Adler tripped. One soft pink hand was already clinging to the vestibule rail, the other gripping a fat satchel. As the train dragged him along the platform, he held on with all his might, coolly calculating that he was now flying too fast to let go without suffering grievous injury. An alert conductor rushed to the vestibule. He sank both hands into the folds of the accountant's coat. Too late, he realized that the weight of the falling man was dragging both of them off the train. Burly Van Dorn detectives sprang to their aid. The accountant ended up on the vestibule floor, clutching his satchel to his chest.
"I have important information for Mr. Isaac Bell," he said.
Bell had just fallen asleep for the first time in 24 hours when they tugged open the curtain to his Pullman berth. He was wide awake instantly, eyes glittering with ferocious concentration. The operative apologized for waking him and introduced an overweight man clutching a briefcase to a suit that looked like he'd been turning somersaults in a coal yard.
"This is Mr. Adler, Mr. Bell."
"Hello, Mr. Adler. Who are you?"
"I am an accountant employed by American States Bank."
Bell swung his feet off the bunk.
"You work for my father?"
"Yes, sir," Adler said proudly.
"Mr. Bell specifically asked for me to take on this audit."
"What have you got?"
"We have uncovered the name of the secret owner of the Union Pier and Caisson Company of St. Louis."
"Go on."
"We should talk in private, Mr. Bell."
"These are Van Dorn agents. You can say your piece here." Adler clutched his briefcase closer.
"I apologize to you, gentlemen, and to you, Mr. Bell, but I am under strict orders from my boss, Mr. Ebenezer Bell, president of the American States Bank, to speak to you and only you."
"Excuse us," said Bell. The detectives left.
"Who owns Union Pier?" he demanded.
"A shell corporation established by a Berlin investment house."
"Shauna and Simon?"
"Yes, sir."
"You are well informed."
"We're getting there.
But who owns the shell corporation?"
Adler lowered his voice to a whisper.
"It is wholly controlled by Senator Charles Kincaid."
"You're sure?" Adler hesitated only a second.
"Not beyond all doubt, but reasonably sure Senator Kincaid is their client. Shauna and Simon supplied the money, but there are numerous indications that they did it on his behalf."
That implies that the wrecker is well connected in Germany. Adler answered, "That was your father's conclusion, too." Bell wasted no time congratulating himself on the discovery that Kincaid likely served the wrecker just as he had suspected. He ordered an immediate investigation of every outside contractor hired by the Southern Pacific Company to work on the Cascades cutoff, and he wired a warning to Archie Abbott to keep a close eye on the senator.
"Telegraph, Mr. Abbott."
"Thank you, Mr. Meadows."
Archie Abbott broke into a broad grin when he decoded the message from Isaac Bell. He combed his red hair in the reflection of a railcar window and straightened his snappy bow tie. Then he marched straight to Osgood Hennessy's private office with a fine excuse to call on Miss Lillian, who was wearing a ruby velvet blouse with a fitted waist, an intriguing row of pearl buttons down the front, and a riveting flow of fabric over her hips. The old man was not in a friendly mood this morning.
"What do you want, Abbott?"
Lillian was watching closely, gauging how Archie handled her father. She would not be disappointed. Archie had no trouble with fathers. Mothers were his weakness.
"I want you to tell me everything you know about outside contractors working on the cutoff," Abbott said.
"We already know about Union Pier and Quezon," Hennessy replied heavily. "Otherwise, several down in Cascade. Purveyors, hotels, laundries. Why do you ask?"
"Isaac doesn't want a repeat of the pier problem, and neither do I. We're checking into all the outside contractors. Do I understand correctly that a contractor was hired by the Southern Pacific to supply cross ties for the cutoff?"
"Of course. When we started building the cutoff, I arranged to stockpile cross ties on this side of the canyon bridge so we'd be ready to jump as soon as we crossed."
"Where is the mill?"
"About 8 miles up the mountain. New owners modernized the old water mill."
"Did they supply ties as promised?"
"Pretty much. It's slow snaking timber down from there, but by and large it's worked out. I gave them a long head start, and the creosoting plant has more than it can handle."
"Is the plant an outside contractor, too?"
"No, it's ours. We just knock it down and move it up the line where we need it."
"Why didn't you establish your own sawmill as you've done in the past?"
"Because the bridge was far ahead of the rest of the road. These folks were already up and running. It seemed the fastest way to get the job done. That's all I can tell you."
"By the way, have you seen Senator Kincaid today?"
"Not since yesterday. If you're that interested in the timber operation, why don't you ride up there and have a look?"
"That's exactly where I'm headed."
Lillian jumped up.
"I'll ride with you."
"No,"
chorused Archie Abbott and Osgood Hennessy. Her father pounded the table for emphasis. Archie offered a heart-grabbing smile and an apology.
"I wish you could ride with me, Lillian," he said, "but Van Dorn policy..."
"I know. I've heard it already. You don't bring friends to gunfights."